You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Halichman.
All right, we're back with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to the latest Sports Rabbi show. We're doing Holy Land Hoops today. Of course, Holy Land Hoops, we bring you basketball all the way up to Naria, down south a lot, and all the great cities in between, Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, Holon, and many, many more. Today, we are going across the Atlantic for the first portion of our show, and we're going to be speaking to Jordan Trotsky. He is one of the head writers of a great website called Behind the Buck Pass. Of course, Maccabi Tel Aviv's former swingman, Elijah Bryant, signed with the Milwaukee Bucks last week. So we're going to first have Jordan Trotsky on. Right after Jordan Trotsky, we're going to be having on AJ Mitnick, our basketball expert. And he's going to break down, of course, all the NBA action, play-ins coming up. We have a great one on Wednesday night, early Thursday morning in Israel between the Los Angeles Lakers and LeBron James against the Golden State Warriors and Steph Curry. That is going to be a barn burner of a matchup. Then we have all kinds of playoff action starting on the weekend, Knicks, Hawks, and many, many more. So make sure you listen to that after we finish off with Jordan. But right now, we're going to welcome Jordan on board. How's it going there, Jordan Trotsky? What's going on, baby?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
All right. Great to have you. We're excited we're honored to have somebody from Milwaukee on the program because Elijah Bryant, one of the Maccabi Tel Aviv players over the past 2 years, before that he was with Hapoel Eilat, finally makes it to the NBA. He signs his professional contract, makes his debut in the final day of the regular season. And I got to tell you a story, Jordan. A few years ago when he was with Hapoel Eilat, he was a tremendous player, a tremendous offensive player. And he took Eilat all the way to just 2 points of Maccabi Tel Aviv in the final four semifinals. Maccabi Tel Aviv just able to skip through into the finals of the final four. And I remember after the press conference saying to Elijah, I got to get a picture with you because I bet you next season you're going to be in the NBA. Took a little bit longer than that. He didn't make the NBA right away. But this time I got a picture with him again as he was leaving after the last game. I said, I got to take a picture now because now you're for sure going to be in the NBA. And there he was, Elijah Bryant making his debut. 16 points, obviously depleted Milwaukee Bucks lineup against the Bulls, but all in all, a very good debut and definitely turned some heads, didn't he, Jordan?
Yeah, definitely. He's certainly been on the radar of Bucks fans, at least speaking for myself, for a couple of years, just, you know, dating back to when he played for their summer league team in Vegas a couple of years ago. And, you know, summer league, it is what it is. This guy's looking for contracts overseas or, you know, player or teams that are interested in, you know, bringing players aboard for their G League team and all that stuff. So competition level isn't NBA, but when a guy, you know, performs as well as he did, I believe he had a 31 point game.
Yes.
During that time. And you just kind of see like his clear NBA skills, his shooting, his scoring, all that stuff. He's got great size, just all the things that kind of fit the ethos of what the Bucks have built over the last couple of years, especially. Like it certainly stood out even during that time. And then just kind of seeing, hey, like how is he doing in Israel? And obviously that opportunity paved into the way for him to join Maccabi Tel Aviv. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just kind of see him, you know, continue along, you know, very nicely playing EuroLeague minutes and all that stuff. Like for a guy that was undrafted, all that's, you know, and all the kind of hurdles that he's had to overcome, it's, you know, obviously a long journey for him, but just to see it from, you know, an outsider's perspective, it's very cool to see him finally come to Milwaukee. And obviously they've been interested in him for quite some time now, even, you know, after the fact of playing for their summer league team and all that stuff. So it's just very cool story and great to see him make his debut, even, you know, what was a meaningless game for their playoff or, you know, seeding chances, but still, like, that's still a night that he won't forget.
No, for sure not. And I got to tell you, it was so weird watching the highlights and seeing him in a Bucks uniform. I have that same jersey, by the way, here with Giannis's name on the back. And I'm just looking at it. I'm like, boy, you look so weird, not in either the yellow or the blue. And I'm like, so used to seeing you for 2 years in that. And here you are in this, you know, green. But watching the highlights, he did exactly what he did with Maccabi Tel Aviv. Drove to the hoop. He was able to take the spot up three-pointer, which I was thrilled to see him make. It was just great to see him play. And I think the big thing that he really gained over his time here in Israel was the defense. Now, if you're familiar with EuroLeague, Jordan, you know that the EuroLeague is like, it's like NBA playoffs every single game. Literally for 34 games, you're going at it against the best teams in Europe. It's a very, very set type of play where you've got to play tough defense. You've got to be built. You've got to make sure you can get in front of your guy. You've got to make sure you understand your defensive assignment properly. And throughout, especially the first season, that was a key piece that Giannis Feropoulos, the coach of Maccabi Tel Aviv, really worked with Olajuwon specifically, was his defense. The offense, we all knew he was a volume scorer. He could score in any, you know, so many different fashions and great finding the hoop every which way. The defense was definitely playing for a team like Eilat, which is a team that is, you know, wants to put up points, wants to play entertaining basketball. They're not playing in Europe. So his, you know, his points were very high. He was scoring 18, 19 points, whatever it was a game. But with Maccabi, the first thing he had to do when he got there was to learn how to play defense. And I think the last press conference we had with Coach Feropoulos, he really said that, you know, that was his ticket really to the NBA, was that he really worked hard in the defensive aspect. And because of that, and we know that obviously John Horst was probably watching his development over the course of time with the Milwaukee Bucks, and they finally snapped him up, Jordan.
Yeah, I knowing how Mike Budenholzer has been throughout his time in Milwaukee, I know they've tried to change things up defensively this year, but that attitude or just philosophy won't change for Elijah as he, you know, wants to carve out a role for the Bucks next season. Yeah, I think that's the thing from, you know, I obviously didn't watch every game, you know, when he was overseas, but just kind of seeing from taking on such a lead role with, I'm going to butcher their name, but the Hapoel Elite. I'm sorry for the mispronunciation there, but from going from a team like that to like a Maccabi Tel Aviv, where, you know, there's plenty of talented players on there and you're trying to find your role rather than, or, you know, fit within the overall system that they have built. And it's obviously a much different kind of role that you'd have to play, but it's certainly, you know, from what you're saying and from what I've gathered from, you know, coach's comments or just how he played and just, you know, from, you know, stats or whatever, it obviously showed that he developed in, you know, a nice two-way player that I think the Bucks obviously, you know, again, they've been on his radar for a while, and yeah, just kind of led to the events that we see today.
Of course, we're on here with Jordan Tresky behind the Buck Pass. Where do you see him fitting into that roster and rotation next season? Obviously, right now, will he get some minutes in the playoffs? I doubt it, unless something crazy happens. But where does he fit into that rotation next season? He is a very, from the reports that I saw of his contract, it's a $1.5 million option, non-guaranteed for next year, which seems to be a very, very, you know, team-friendly contract. Seems like a steal. And we've seen so many teams right now in the NBA do that. If you've been following, Jordan, see a guy like Mike James signing with the Brooklyn Nets. You see a guy, you know, with the Oklahoma City Thunder. You see Gabriel Deck going there. And so we're seeing that's just two of a number of players that signed over the last little while. Facu Campazzo signed earlier this season during midway through the Real Madrid season. But where do you see him falling in with this club potentially next year?
That's a very good question, because, I mean, the Bucks have obviously locked down their core with Giannis, Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday. So the kind of tent poles are there, no matter, you know, how you fill in the gaps. But it's the guys that, like, you know, the Bryn Forbes of the world, or, you know, Pat Connaughton has been a nice, like, 3-and-D wing for them. But, like, the Bucks have certainly looked for more kind of complementary pieces, or a little bit more, like, you know, shot creators around Giannis, where, like, you know, say if there's time where he misses, you know, knock on wood, obviously, but like if he's, you know, on the bench or if he's gone for an absence and just they need kind of like more, you know, something from the bench or something like that. I think that's where a guy like Brian can really step in and, you know, do what he's done to this point in his professional career. Brent Forbes could be a free agent after the season. I think he's got some very minimal player option. I think it's like 2 million and change or something like that. But like, he's a guy that could go leave Milwaukee in free agency and maybe, you know, garner a bigger contract. And that's where I think he could kind of step in that role. They have some other interesting prospects, whether it's like a guy like Jordan Mora or Sam Merrill's kind of been on, you know, had his moments, but like, there's certainly, I don't know if it's whether just the, you know, what he's shown with playing in Europe and Israel and all that stuff. I think, you know, who knows what how he'll play in training camp and how, you know, what happens this offseason, what happens this playoff run, which, you know, obviously there's some big stakes on that for the Bucks, but I think he could easily fit in that kind of bench score kind of, you know, scoring spark that they need that really translated at times this year too.
You know, I really like Jordan Nora. I think that was a great.
Same here.
Yeah, I really like. I liked him in college. I think it was a great steal to be able to get him. I really, really like him. I think he does have a very good future ahead of him. Nice pick in the middle of the second round. A little smack dab right in the middle of the second round. If I believe it was 45th overall, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's a nice, nice move. Before we get into the playoffs, I have a little bit of Israeli basketball trivia for you. What other player on the Bucks roster played in Israel in the past?
I'm going to say PJ Tucker.
That would be right. You would get the 2 points. PJ Tucker played for Hapoel Holon. Yes, many, many, many years ago. He was named in the starting five of the league way back when. I think it was about 13 years ago or so. So I remember watching him play here in the Holy Land. Little did we know that he was going to become a you know, this big-time type of player in the NBA that, you know, became a social icon, especially with his shoes and his sneakers and all that stuff. But that, it's really impressive. Hopefully he'll be somewhat of a factor as you head into the playoffs. And that's what we're going to know now, right, Jordan? They have a big playoff matchup, the Bucks against the Heat. You know, I look at this matchup and I say to myself, on one hand, the Heat were the Eastern Conference champs last year in the bubble. So we have to take that into account. They have a player like Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, two excellent players and a very good supporting staff. I look at the Bucks and they also have a very good team. They also have the two-time reigning MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo, on the roster, and they have a number of wonderful players as well. If it's Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, you know, there are plenty of great players, and that's only a couple of them, right? Now, to me, this is the big test for Budenholzer. If he cannot make it out of this first round, you got to figure that there's going to be some mega changes. And I do believe they will get through this first round. I think they're going to be able to take the Heat fairly, I don't want to say easily, but I think they're going to take out the Heat. That's what I predicted on my show. I think that they're just still, they're too good. And I think the matchup is in their favor in this series. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, this is the big question. I mean, all the regular season success to this point for the Bucks, you know, especially last year, and granted, there's so many factors and elements that just made their run in the bubble very, you know, short-lived, obviously, more than anyone would have expected. But even before just, you know, the world changed in an instant, seemingly, but like Miami was always a tough matchup for the Bucks. They were built in a very specific way that could really disrupt the Bucks from how they want to play. You know, Bam Adebayo has obviously grown into this all-star caliber player, defensive player of the year candidate. Jimmy Butler, you know, is he's like only perfected what he does. Like, he has some clear limitations, whether it's like being a shooter, but he's maximized his skill set beyond what anybody has ever thought he could coming into the NBA. They just, I mean, they're kind of the Heat culture, if you will, like as you know, as is talked about a lot, like right. It is a real thing when you play them, and they come with a very distinct style of play and play ferociously and just gives teams hell for 48 minutes and all that stuff. And obviously the Bucks bore the brunt of that last, you know, in the Eastern Conference semifinals. Mm-hmm. And as much as things have changed and all that stuff, and you know, the Bucks obviously slid from what they were last year, but it was still finishing the season 46-26 in a COVID year where they Drew Holiday missed some games, Giannis missed some games with the with his knee for a couple of weeks. Like they weathered all the storm and all the circumstances that may have made this such a kind of strange season, why things seem very wide open right now. And I would say that they performed better than expected considering all the things that they've had to overcome. But now it's, you know, the true test, all the things that they have dabbled with, experimented with, it has to, you know, stand up to playoff level competition. And like you said, you know, the target is on Mike Budenholzer for being able to adjust, being able to put all these things into practice, not necessarily, you know, play it for, you know, a full game, but just kind of read the situation more than he certainly read it last year against the Heat. But yeah, this is a lot is riding on, you know, they make these big changes. They obviously make the big trade for Drew Holiday, and he, you know, signs his extension midway through the season. Giannis obviously stays in Milwaukee. We're beyond thrilled that, you know, he's going to be a Buck for quite some time now, and has a chance to be the greatest Buck of all time. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot riding on, you know, they have made such a massive commitment to the players to, you know, keeping this core locked in for the next, you know, few years for the foreseeable future. And if it results in a first round exit, or even, you know, if they get past the Heat, they obviously have the Nets likely waiting for them after that. Like it's such a weird, we all know, like it's an open secret where Budenholzer stands in his run, right. But all the kind of the context behind how the Bucks playoff run will obviously determine whether his future lies in Milwaukee beyond the season.
It's really amazing how it really comes down to this playoff. You've played all season long to get to this playoff series, to hone their skills and to see where it's going to go. And it's just so, I mean, that's the greatest part about sports, is that you now have a 7-game series where you're going to go mano a mano against a team that has beaten you, mm-hmm. but a team that you know you can beat. I think if the Bucks, I really am very high on the Bucks this season. I still think Philadelphia actually will come out of the East. That is my pick to come out of the East. I don't see the Nets getting that far, but I really see a Bucks eventually. You know, Bucks going into that conference final. I really see it somehow. I really think this is the year, the maturity level. I mean, what is the feeling around the streets of Milwaukee right now? Can they beat the Heat?
I think the anxiety of the last
people
couple
are nervous.
Years. Yeah, there's certainly a level of nervousness that exists, especially going against the Heat, where it's like, you know, they have built their team with everything that happened last year in mind. So to go against a team that obviously, you know, ended their season last year, going into the playoffs this year, that's, you know, what bigger test can that be for them right now? Even if it's a first round matchup, like, you know, to overcome the team that they, you know, obviously ended their season last year, that would be a throw in all to itself. But then you have, like you said, like the Nets are right there waiting for you, and that presents a whole different challenge. But yeah, I think there's kind of this, just a level of anxiety that exists that, you know, I don't think it's a what can go wrong will go wrong, but kind of like they have to prove it kind of thing.
Wow. It's definitely going to be interesting. I'm really looking forward to the playoffs, looking forward to the play-ins. It's going to be late nights back here in the Holy Land. I can tell you that. People are going to be staying up all night to watch these games and getting up very early in the morning. Like, for example, the Lakers game against the Golden State Warriors is a 5 a.m. start here, which is kind of a really good time. And tonight we have the Charlotte Hornets and the Indiana Pacers at 1:30. So if we can stay up, you can get that game. Or if you want to, you know, go to sleep a little bit and get the 4 a.m. game, you can get the Wizards and the Celtics. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing the Bucks over the weekend. I'm sure you are too. Of course, if anybody wants to reach out to Jordan, where can they find you on Twitter?
You can find me at Jordan Tresky on Twitter, and all my writing is at Behind the Buck Pass. I also do a podcast called Win in Six that obviously talks about the Bucks. And yeah, you can find me at all those places. And, you know, and just thanks again for having me on.
And of course, you should know, Jordan, we are going to put all the links into the podcast. So if anybody wants to hit you up on Twitter, they can get you. If they want to check out Behind the Bucks Pass, they can check you out there as well. Of course, me, the Sports Rabbi, at the Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, sportsrabbi.com. Make sure you subscribe, leave us a good rating. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, Google Podcasts. We are at all of those locations. Jordan Tresky, thank you so much for coming on board with the Sports Rabbi today. This was great.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Sports Rabbi.
All right, we're back here with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Halleckman. Welcome back, of course, to the Sports Rabbi Show, Holy Land Hoops, where we bring you the best of Israeli basketball all the way up north to Nehariya and down south to Eilat and all the great cities in between. Many of those cities, we might add, have been seen Hamas missiles recently, if it's Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, and many, many more. But we're not here to talk about those missiles. We're here to talk a little NBA action right now. Of course, we bring on our basketball expert. It is none other than A.J. Mitnick. Of course, A.J. Mitnick, former assistant coach, Maccabi Tel Aviv, Bnei Herzliya, Nes Ciona. And while we will touch a little bit on the Israeli league at some point during this conversation, we're going to be focusing today NBA, NBA playoffs, NBA play-in, lots of NBA stuff, and we're excited for it. A.J. Mitnick, what's going on, baby?
Excited for NBA. It's the time of year where, you know, sleep is optional. Now we got some NBA playoff action every night.
Yeah, sleep, what's that? You know, for most of us, though, who've been following Danny Avdia, of course, all season long, sleep was at a premium throughout the season. When he got hurt, kind of my sleep pattern got back to normal. I think it's normal. I'm not so quite sure. But nonetheless, we'll just, you know, we're going to head into the play-in games. It is unfortunate that Denny Avdia is hurt, because otherwise he'd be playing in a play-in game with the Washington Wizards against the Boston Celtics. The Charlotte Hornets are playing the Indiana Pacers. San Antonio at the Memphis Grizzlies. But the biggie, the big game of them all, is Golden State at the Los Angeles Lakers. The winner gets in. They get to punch their ticket to the playoffs. The loser then has to play another game against either the winner of San Antonio and Memphis. So that is going to be exciting. A.J. Mitnick, the league must be thrilled. The NBA must be so ecstatic that they have a play-in game between the Lakers and the Golden State Warriors, because that means it's going to be LeBron James, Anthony Davis, against the likes of a shooter by the name of Steph Curry, big defender, Draymond Green, many, many others. The league couldn't be any happier with this, AJ.
Yeah, I mean, Steph against LeBron in the finals was a pretty big draw. So having, for the NBA, basically a game seven type one and done game to start the playoffs between the Lakers and the Warriors, that's going to be super exciting, especially yeah, coming off of that Warriors-Memphis game where really Steph in the second half just topped off the season, showing that he's by far the best shooter of all time.
You know, it's really amazing. Russell Westbrook won the player of the month, and deservedly so, right? I mean, he took Washington literally on his back. Bradley Beal, of course, hurt in that last game. Will play, of course, in the game later on against the Celtics. But really, Steph Curry, if they would have given him the player of the month, I don't think there would have been any argument.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I could say I think Steph Curry is the most fun player to watch in the NBA right now. Like, he's really just having fun out there, making crazy shots. Like, I think both him and Russ were definitely deserving. You know, Russ really, he's not even just getting triple doubles. He's just not even close to like 10 rebounds and 10 assists, getting over 20 rebounds, like over 20 assists. He's been fantastic. No way around it. But I think, you know, what Russell Westbrook did in this last month, you know, breaking Oscar Robertson's triple-double record. I just think that's a moment that goes down in NBA history.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he definitely did deserve a player of the month.
No, definitely. Definitely a solid player. There's nobody arguing about that. And if somebody would have taken Scott Brooks over Tom Thibodeau as coach of the month, I think people would have been okay with that as well. And we'll get, of course, we'll get to the New York Knicks in a little bit. But let's break down this Golden State-LA Laker game. LeBron is still a little bit banged up. That high ankle sprain is definitely still bothering him, AJ. We saw that in the last game. He's struggling with it. Golden State's coming in, you know, pretty healthy into this game. I would not be shocked to see Golden State pull off the upset here, beat the Lakers, forcing the Lakers to then play either San Antonio or Memphis in that last play-in game to get the eighth seed. I'm going to be going with Golden State here. I think that they've been playing better basketball. I think they've been more consistent. I think that Steph is going to go off as he's done all season long. And I think that it's a very, very big issue with LeBron James' little ankle sprain over there, that high ankle sprain.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron, you can talk about his injuries, but I think when all comes said and done, LeBron's been a pretty consistent playoff performer when it comes down to it, despite you know, heavy criticisms against him. So I don't really think that's as much as the issue. That I just think Golden State, ever since Wiseman went down, and they kind of found their new eight-man rotation. You know, Draymond Green said it best the other night after the Warriors-Grizzlies game, that their supporting cast, they kind of figured out how to play with the way that Steph's been guarded. That teams are kind of loading up on Steph. And, you know, this new eight-man rotation they have has kind of figured their spots. You know, Jordan Poole breaking out has really helped them. And really, Draymond Green's leadership alongside Steph Curry being one of the greatest players of all time. Like, I think in a one-and-done game, if Steph is on, I don't see any way Golden State will lose this game.
Andrew Wiggins, 71 out of 72 games this season. Not bad for him. He's also had a very good year, averaging 18.6 points. I think he's going to be key as well. Andrew Wiggins, of course, the Canadian international, came over to Golden State from Minnesota. I always liked Andrew Wiggins. I know there's a lot of criticism on him, but when you have that type of score and that type of length that he provides also, Golden State is in very, very good shape with players like that. And if I'm the Lakers, I'm very concerned going into this game. I know that they're going to have Dennis Schroeder playing. I understand that. The Lakers are, you know, Anthony Davis is going to play. Like you said before, our friend LeBron James is going to play. You're going to have a solid, solid roster out there for the Lakers. But I would be shocked to see the Lakers winning this game easily. I think it's going to be close, but I think that Golden State's going to pull this one out. I really, really see it.
Yeah, and you know, Draymond also, when he finished, you know, they were asking him about, you know, other teams throwing centers at them, and you know, the Memphis threw Valanciunas at them. Mm-hmm. And he kind of said it bluntly, you know, one of the Lakers' biggest advantages is their size. Mm-hmm. He said that for years, teams have been trying to throw centers at the Warriors, and it's never worked.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like the Lakers with their big advantage with AD and their other big guys, I don't know if it's really an advantage. That, you know, like you were saying about Wiggins, I mean, Wiggins went number one in the draft, like based off of his tools, his skill set, his athleticism. But the knock on him really has been that he's not a superstar and he can't carry a team. And I think, you know, in Golden State, where they have leadership from other places, he's really proven to be a consistent, very potent weapon for them.
No, definitely. I think that he's also matured. I think that playing alongside players like Draymond Green and, of course, Steph Curry is going to help you out as well. And look, listen, you come from Minnesota. It's a tough team, right? I mean, they've had their trouble. They've had the whole issue with Jimmy Butler in the past, and you have Cat and, you know, Carl Anthony Towns, of course. There's just been so many issues in and out of that team, and they haven't been competitive. I think it's a good landing spot. I think for anybody, Golden State would be a good landing spot. But I'm really super looking forward to that game. But again, the Lakers will still have a chance after that if they do lose. If you had to take a winner out of the other game between Memphis and San Antonio, you got to kind of be looking at Memphis, right? I mean, I don't – San Antonio hasn't shown me much that I would believe that they're going to be able to take this play-in game.
I think no doubt Memphis has shown in the regular season that they're a better team. I think if you were going off of, you know, just who's a better team, I think it's like, you know, and just going off of the matchups even, I would say that the Grizzlies have a serious advantage. But again, one and done, you know, just like in college, anything can happen. And, you know, Greg Popovich, I wouldn't put it past him to have a good game plan. So I think you can't count San Antonio out. I think it's really exciting what the NBA is doing with this playing game. I think that really gives, like, you know, going forward, like teams that, you know, have a good run towards the end of the season playing against teams that might have had an injury, you know, like Boston, like they're a great team that just had injuries. I think it just adds a lot of drama and excitement. Team like the San Antonio Spurs, the 10th seed, who knows? They can make the playoffs in a couple days.
No, definitely. It could be. It's crazy when you think about it. You look at the East, a team like the Hornets with only 33 wins, the Pacers with 34. Those teams are still in it. One of those teams is going to win, and they're going to play the loser of the Celtics Wizards. We'll just touch on it very briefly, but on one hand, I think the Wizards are going to win this game easily. On the other hand, Bradley Beal's injury is very concerning. And the Celtics, even though they don't have a number of star players, they still have a lot of firepower and more firepower than the Wizards do. But of course, when you have a team with Russell Westbrook on it, you don't know. And even if they lose, they still get another game. They're going to get a chance between the Pacers and the Hornets. So it's a little bit crazy over there. If I'm picking winners over here, I'm going to take the Pacers over the Hornets. I'm still going to take the Wizards over the Celtics. But I'm, you know, again, I think those games are all toss-ups.
Yeah, I mean, I just think if anyone's seen Washington over the last couple of weeks and seen just the drive that Westbrook's been playing with, I wouldn't want to be the one who bets against them. I also think that Boston, you know, after they made the trade for Evan Fournier, it seemed like a great move that would really help them. But in reality, he hasn't really panned out for them so far.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've really just been in a free fall. So, again, I would, just like I said about San Antonio, Memphis, I think the odds are heavily in Washington's favor. But, you know, if we've seen anything in this COVID year where there hasn't been so many practices and there's just been a lot of parity from game to game. In one game, you know, even the playoff, the seven-game series are really up in the air. But I think in one game, really anything can happen. But, you know, my bet's on Washington.
All right. So let's take a look now at the series that we do know about. And that, of course, is the New York Knicks finishing in fourth place. I think if anybody put money on that result on a 41-31 record, you'd be pretty rich right now. The Knicks finish in fourth place. They're playing the fifth-place Atlanta Hawks. The Knicks have, you know, have had a tremendous year. Julius Randle has just been MVP-esque. It's been fun to watch them. I've watched a ton of Knicks games this year, and I can't say that I've watched a ton in the last few years, but they're a fun team. I loved watching Emmanuel Quickley. They're just a solid, well-rounded team. RJ Barrett has started to come into his own. They're looking so much stronger, and the X factor has been really Derrick Rose since coming over in the trade with Detroit. He's just been putting up terrific numbers. And then you have guys like Alec Burks just came off an injury, playing well. Reggie Bullock, great shooter, good defender. Mitchell Robinson started to get some reps in now. I don't think he's going to be a factor, but Taj Gibson with his veteran aspect that he brings to the team. Nerlens Noel playing good minutes over there. The Knicks are a very, very good team. You look at the Atlanta Hawks, they're a very good team as well. You're talking about two very, you know, very solid teams that have pluses and minuses on both sides. Trae Young, of course, one of the great scorers in the league right now, averaging over 25 points a game. Bogdan Bogdanovic, who has been great under Nate McMillan since taking over from Lloyd Pierce, has been fabulous. Clint Capella is definitely a force. You know, the list goes on and on over there. You have Lou Williams coming off of the bench. You have some solid, solid players. I'm really, really looking forward to this series. It's going to be a tough series, and it's going to go, I think, pretty, pretty far.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to bet if any of the first-round series would go to seven games, it probably would be the Knicks-Hawks. I think also, you know, for both fan bases, it's been quite a while since either of them had, like, a meaningful season. So I think, you know, it should be very exciting for both teams. The Knicks, I mean, if you look at their team, they're really just, you know, the whole is better than the sum of all their parts.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, we've seen that Rose and Tibbs are really a match made in heaven, you know, like in Chicago and then mm-hmm. in Minnesota, he revitalized his career. And now everybody kind of thought he was down again, went back to the Knicks and he's been fantastic. I mean, even the fact that he's in the running for Sixth Man of the Year, he's not going right. to win it, but that he's even going to be on the ballot, like speaks volumes to just the impact he's made on the Knicks. But I mean, like they're a fantastic defensive team without, you know, besides for Nerlens Noel, they don't have one guy on their team who you would say, you know, throw him on another team and he's a top defender in the league.
Right.
But they've been playing among the best defense like of any team in the NBA right now. And obviously Randall been playing out of his mind, you know, like doing things on the court at the beginning of the season, almost like you look at him like bringing the ball up the floor, making plays off the dribble. Like he just added so much to his game that he just straight up either didn't have or didn't get opportunity to show until this year. And I mean, he's now, I think unquestionably, like a few weeks ago, people were talking like maybe he deserves to be on the All-NBA third team. I think he might even get some second team looks at this point.
You know what? He may look at the first team as well. There's been rumors about that also. You look at his stats this year, 24.1 points, 10.2 rebounds, 6 assists. Numbers. But Trae Young, 25.3, 9.4 assists. Did you know that Trae Young almost averaged 10 assists? Think about that for
a minute. Yeah, I mean, he's tremendous. A very high-volume player. You know, for such a young guy, he's really, you know, a light version of Steph almost, like how he plays. But, you know, Atlanta, I think, you know, they started the season were kind of a disappointment. They had, you know, just like everyone else in the league, but really they had a ton of injuries, you know, not knowing who's going to be in the lineup night to night. Like Lloyd Pierce didn't really get the fair share of the deal because, Nate McMillan, who's a fantastic coach, he kind of benefited that the roster stabilized a little bit, that Bogdanović came back. And I mean, when they picked up Bogdanović, that really was a huge move for them. I think also, you know, people haven't really been mentioning that Bogdanović was originally supposed to go to Milwaukee. And I mean, I think the way he's looked this year, I think if he would have ended up going to the Bucks, they would probably win the title. Also Clint Capella, who you mentioned, he probably won't make the All-NBA, you know, first, second, or third team. But he's putting up a ridiculous season this year.
Yeah, like, he's
every
50,
night,
15-14.
Ridiculous stats. So again, you know, Atlanta, they're, you know, this Knicks Atlanta series, I think it's going to be a little bit similar to those Boston Atlanta series, you know, Chip that were, you know, in the 00s or like the late 00s, early 2010s, you know, with the big three Boston teams against Atlanta. I think it's going to be a chippy. I'm actually pretty sure Tibbs was an assistant in Boston in those times. I think it's going to be a first round, like a go the distance series. I think it should be really fun to watch.
No, definitely. Some really, really good stuff over there. Let's take a look at the other series that we know it's going to be taking place. Milwaukee Bucks against the Miami Heat. Definitely an interesting series over there. I'd say a little bit compelling. But the Bucks, really, in my mind, are the better team. Of course, Miami Heat made it into the finals last year, so that is also something that has to be looked at. Of course, you have the two-time reigning MVP on the Bucks in Giannis Antetokounmpo. You have some solid players in Chris Middleton, Jrue Holiday, Elijah Bryant. Hey, you have him too, averaging 16 points a game in his one appearance, and we'll get to that a little bit. But you know, it was a great debut. You can't blame him there. Brooke Lopez played in 70 games this year, which is, you know, tremendous for him. And you look at the other side. You look at a team like the Miami Heat, where you have Jimmy Butler, obviously, who is a never say die player. He's going to give it all. You have Bam Adebayo, which is, you know, one of the great up and coming players in this league, almost 19 points a game, 9 rebounds. That's a solid team. Duncan Robinson played 72 games this year. It's going to, the Heat are going to give Miami a lot to handle. If they can beat the Bucks, I'd have to say that there's going to be a coaching change with Milwaukee, because if they can't get by Miami in the first round, there's something wrong over there. And that's a little bit of my fear with the Milwaukee Bucks. Can they finally get over the hump over here? Can they go that extra step? Can they take that extra step under Mike Budenholzer, AJ?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you would go back to the preseason, I think the final standings were the worst possible scenario that could have happened for Milwaukee. That Miami, the only reason why they're the sixth seed is because Jimmy Butler was out for a while with COVID protocols. That they're a fantastic team, play fantastic basketball. I mean, we've seen in the past, like Eric Spoelstra runs circles around Mike Budenholzer. I don't think they're at the same echelon of coaches. So, you know, Miami for sure is going to come out with a good game plan with, you know, maybe some sneaky defenses and some new offensive schemes that, you know, will I'd be surprised if Milwaukee's prepared for. And, you know, now it's really time for Giannis to put up or shut up because, you know, Jimmy Butler, who's, you know, has less MVP trophies in his shelf, he's consistently shown up in the playoffs. Let's see if Giannis can do it. Up until now, he hasn't been able to win, you know, a playoff series against good teams. So, you know, for them that they, you know, put the supermax on Giannis and he made the commitment to stay there, I'd be very surprised if they're, you know, even if they're able to get past Miami, then they're going to have to get past Brooklyn, and then they're going to have to get past probably Philly. And I mean, I wouldn't bet for them to do it.
Yeah, it's going to be a very, very interesting series. I really want to see. It's time for the Bucks to put up or shut up here. That's the way I see it.
And if I'm definitely expecting there to be big changes in the summer because I think with everything they've invested and all the moves they made, and having a transcendent player like Giannis, you got to at least be getting to the conference finals every year.
Yeah, and they've made
able to get there once.
Yeah, and they've made a big commitment, and they've made a very, very big commitment to Giannis. So, you know, this is it. Mike Budenholzer's got to do it here, or else it's put up or shut up time, as they say. The other two teams that have already made the playoffs are the 76ers and the Brooklyn Nets in the East. The 76ers, to me, is as complete a team as we're going to see. I think that they are, you know, just so well-rounded. They have a great coach in Doc Rivers. They have a terrific, you know, terrific player and superstar Joel Embiid, 28.5 points, 10.6 rebounds a game. You have players like Tobias Harris, Ben Simmons, who is arguably the best defender in the league. You know, even Steph's little brother, Steph Curry, is a pretty good player. You have veterans like Danny Green, who knows what it takes. You have Dwight Howard, player that knows what it takes. You have a team that really is extremely, extremely well-rounded, has some very good players. And I really think that Philadelphia, when everything's said and done in the East, Philadelphia is the team to beat here, not the Brooklyn Nets. And I don't trust the Brooklyn Nets for a lot of reasons. One, we have barely seen their big three, James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving play. They have played very, very little together. That's going to hurt them. When it comes down to, you know, when it will come down to it at the, you know, when it gets into the, you know, second round or so. I don't think they have some nice veterans. They have some nice players on the team. But to me, there's going to be a problem for the fact that these guys just did not play with each other all year. And there's something to say about chemistry. And right now the Brooklyn Nets have none of that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we can sit and go back and forth about, you know, who will be better, you know, who's a better team, the Sixers, the Nets, you know, talk basketball. But I think when it comes down to it, the health of Joel Embiid, Kevin Durant, and James Harden is going to be what determines who comes out of the East. That if, you know, we can talk basketball if all three of them are going to stay healthy. Mm-hmm. But if one of them goes down, probably the other team is going to win. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd say Philadelphia in the summer when they took, you know, Curry and Danny Green, they were smart. They kind of realized what wasn't working last year after they picked up Al Horford, and they moved on and changed concepts and brought some shooters in. And you can see that it's really balanced their roster, and that, you know, it's not a coincidence that they finished as the first seed, and that Joel Embiid's been having the best year of his career. That I think it's pretty consensus that if he played the entire season, he would have given Jokic a run for his money and MVP. Yeah. So I would say right now, just because they've been rolling and they've been a little healthier, that Philly looks good. But again, I think if history tells us anything, Joel Embiid could easily miss some time, and that can decide the outcome.
No, definitely. I'm telling you, Joel Embiid, to me, if he would have played maybe another 5, 6, 8 games, could be in that MVP discussion. Now we're going to get over to that, the MVP discussion, where we move over to the Western Conference, AJ. Of course, we're on here with AJ Mitnick, our basketball expert of Sports Rabbi, sportsrabbi.com, English and Hebrew. Let's talk about the teams and the series that we already know that are going to take place, and that would be the LA Clippers against the Dallas Mavericks. Now, the Clippers lost a number of games because they didn't want to play the LA Lakers. Anytime a team does that, in my mind, you're just setting yourself up for failure. And even though the LA Clippers are the better team, how many times have we seen them left at the altar of the basketball world? How many times have we seen the Clippers not make it to the, you know, where they should make it, where we think they're going to make it? We've seen it so many times. Yes, Kawhi Leonard has been very good this year, almost 25 points, almost 7 rebounds a game. Paul George is an all-star as well. And you have Marcus Morris, and you have a number of other great players over there. You look at Dallas, they have another player that could be talked about in the MVP discussion, which is none other than Slovenian Luka Doncic. Of course, Luka Doncic, 27.7 points, 8 rebounds, 8.6 assists, almost averaged a triple-double. That's not bad. So he can be talked about in the MVP discussion as well. Kristaps Porzingis, when he's playing, he's good. When he's hurt, obviously, he doesn't bring anything to the table. Jalen Brunson has had a very good season this year. You know, to me, this is a toss-up series. This is a true 4-5 series over here. And I wouldn't be surprised if Dallas wins. I wouldn't be surprised if the Clippers win. But I've seen the Clippers not take that step so many times. Is this going to be yet another season where they can't make that step?
I mean, I think also you don't want to forget when you mentioned Dallas, Tim Hardaway Jr., who's had some great performances this year. I mean, it's first of all, if you look at the history of NBA, you know, the Clippers are still the Clippers. And, you know, until now, I think I read it somewhere maybe over a decade ago that there's, you know, death taxes and that the Clippers are going to be a disappointment. They're like the only guarantees in life. So, I mean, you look at like Kawhi, like I just think the basketball gods kind of have to catch up to you at some point. Like after what he did to San Antonio to force his way out of there, he kind of got lucky and wanted in Toronto really by pure luck, like playing against Golden State with injuries. Like I think that that's a title that almost has to go in with an asterisk. Like he didn't really beat anybody good on his way to the championship. And, you know, like, so, I mean, that kind of is what everybody uses to validate his career. Like, he's one of the best players of this era, but I just don't feel it. Like, I think Luka is a far better player than Kawhi. I don't really trust Kawhi and Paul George, you know, to go past the second round. So they might be able to beat Dallas because, you know, Porzingis is a kind of a disappointment. But
I'm not feeling the Clippers hype.
Like some people are.
Mm-hmm. All right. The other series that we know that's going to take place is between the Denver Nuggets and the Portland Trail Blazers. Now, of course, the Denver Nuggets do have the consensus MVP of the league, Nikola Jokic. They have a fantastic new guard in a good friend, Facundo Campazzo. Despite not having Jamal Murray, we've seen other players step up and step up big time for this team. Michael Porter Jr., for example, would be one of those, averaging 19 points and 7-plus rebounds a game. You have a very solid team. You bring in a player like Aaron Gordon over there. Austin Rivers with, you have some players over here. You have some players over here. You have some guys that are going to cause problems. They finished with a 47-25 record, the same as the Clippers. And then you have, of course, the Portland Trail Blazers with Dame Lillard, CJ McCollum, the two, you know, stars of the show, as we'll call them. And, of course, Carmelo Anthony as a supporting cast member. And we see again, is this going to be a team that is going to be left at an altar again, which is going to cause some major changes over the summer? And the Sports Rabbi says that that is exactly what's going to happen here. I don't see Denver losing this series. And as much as Dame Lillard may want to win this series, I think that Denver is just too much of a team to be dealt with at this point, AJ.
I mean, I think as much as it's hard for a lot of people to admit, Jokic is an all-time great. And I think he is the difference maker in the series. But I think, you see what Porter Jr. has been doing since Murray went out. I think if, he's been putting up this production from the beginning of the season, he's an all-star.
Mm-hmm.
And they have just a lot of guys, even like, Millsap. And like the list goes on of their role players who all are ready to contribute. And they have a 7-foot guy who's one of the best passers of all time. So, they can really get the most out of their roster.
Mm-hmm.
I think Portland, they've had some times where like they can scratch and claw and like come in their way to the bottom of the playoffs. They had one run to the conference finals, but this Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum combination hasn't worked up until now. I think it should be, I think Denver in five.
Okay. I think that's going to be pretty close to what we're going to see. I think the Dame will win a game, at least maybe two, by himself, but I don't think we're going to see very much else after that. Now,
let me ask you this about Damian Lillard. He's had these really amazing end of game performances, but how many players played with Damian Lillard and had a career year that he's supposed to be one of the best point guards in the NBA? Who has he made to be a much better NBA player?
I think the silence is deafening, my good friend.
Yeah.
There you go. I think the silence is deafening on the end of the Sports Rabbi. The number one team of the Western Conference, the Utah Jazz, they've just been great all season long. Donovan Mitchell has been great, averaging over 26 points, but he's just much more than that. He provides so much of that team. Jordan Clarkson, you have the other Bojan Bogdanovic. You have Rudy Gobert, arguably the one of the best defenders in the league, big man, changes it all up near the rim. Joe Ingles, who's had another great season. Whoever thought that Joe Ingles was going to be such a key member in the NBA after he played here back in Israel with Maccabi Tel Aviv many years ago. They are really, really a good, solid team. They have good, solid veterans coming off of the bench as well. The Utah Jazz are a very good team. The number two seed, the Phoenix Suns, they make it back in the playoffs in almost a decade or so. Devin Booker, of course, with great numbers over 25 points a game. Chris Paul, who's been really the most amazing player at his age in this league this season. DeAndre Ayton having a nice season as well, averaging 14.4 points, 10.5 rebounds. Jay Crowder, Mikal Bridges, they're just so strong. Look, these two teams, to me, again, are really the class of the West. You really look at it and Denver may give them some problems, but if you really look at the rosters up and down, they're just so much better than any of the other teams in this conference, AJ.
So, if you're going to give that Maccabi shout-out of Joe Ingles, who's unbelievable how well he succeeded in Utah, you got to give props to Sean James, who also played in B'nai Herzliya and then mm-hmm. Maccabi, that he's a player personnel guy in Utah. Mm-hmm. So if you're talking about someone that built one of the best rosters in the league, got to give a tip your hat to Sean James.
It's a good man, Sean James.
Yeah, but Utah top to bottom, you can talk about their stars, like Gobert being the best defender in the league. Donovan Mitchell, who, there's just so many good guards in the NBA that sometimes he gets overlooked. But he's a superstar in his own right. Like he can drop 40 in any big playoff game. I think he showed last year when he went head-to-head with Jamal Murray that, I think they showed how good they are, but just how deep the class of guards are in the NBA right now. Mm-hmm. I think both Utah and Phoenix, if I made that criticism about Lillard, who's he made better? Who has Chris Paul not made better?
Right.
He goes
right. It's so amazing.
Everybody has their best season of their career. I think Phoenix. Typically teams that make quick rises from being a non-playoff team to a high seed usually fizzle out. But I think the Chris Paul not winning a title up until now, this year being a year that was decimated by Corona and just being a little bit more unpredictable, I don't think anybody can count out a team with Chris Paul and Devin Booker.
Yeah, it's really, to me, it's really amazing. It's so, so amazing when you look at these teams. Absolutely tremendous. AJ Mitnick, an honor and a pleasure to have you on board today. Where can people reach out to you?
You can get me on Twitter or on Instagram or on Facebook at AJ Mitnick. And, you know, Josh, stay safe. Hopefully we have a quiet rest of the week.
Same here. Of course, me, the Sports Rabbi, at the Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, sportsrabbi.com, English and Hebrew. We are here for you. We'll be back, of course, with more and more Israeli action, NBA action, and the works with us here at sportsrabbi.com.